The army teaches you two things. If in doubt, put down smoke and go left. And never volunteer for anything. The Navy teaches you two things. Don't throw the slops out to windward. Makes sense, right? And never volunteer for anything. The Air Force teaches you two things. Cheese tastes pretty much the same coming up as going down, so it's okay to eat before a bumpy flight. And never volunteer for anything. The Marines teach you only one thing. Never volunteer for anything. I don't know how much of this is true because I found it on a website called Urban Dictionary. I will confirm, however, that when I went into the military, I do remember someone telling me, never volunteer for anything. I'm not sure if I really followed that rule in basic or AIT. My tendency was more towards the attitude that I might as well volunteer and get it over with. But I did come to the never volunteer mindset later. Not that I'm a pessimist, mind you. I probably describe myself more as a realist with experience. The problem is you never really know what you're volunteering for. Most time when somebody asks you to volunteer for something, at least in the military, it's not good. You get stuck doing some nasty job no one else wanted to do. However, I did read somewhere that the reason that you never volunteered in the military was not to escape those nasty jobs, but that by volunteering, you stuck out and were separate from the group. The whole point of basic training was to take a whole bunch of different individuals and make them look alike, act alike, dress alike, and even eat alike. To volunteer was to stick out and to separate yourself from that group. I did find it interesting, though, when I did a Bible search for the words, here I am or here am I, one thing did stick out. Those who raised their hand when the Lord asked were a notable group. In Genesis alone, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Continuing through the Bible, we have Moses, Samuel, Jonathan, Ahimelech, Isaiah, and Ananias. But probably the most well-known for the saying, here I am, is Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is transported to the throne room of heaven, the Lord asked him, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah was quick to reply, here I am, send me. Isaiah's words have become very popular in the church, especially concerning evangelism. In fact, my daughter-in-law has those words tattooed on the top of her feet. These distinguished men from the Old and the New Testaments are the group that the child Samuel is associated with. Samuel himself has a very interesting beginning. His mother, Hannah, was barren. She couldn't conceive a child. This troubled her deeply. She had very much distress over this. But on one occasion when she was worshiping at the temple, she was especially sad and she was praying silently in earnest to the Lord that he would give her a son. The priest at the door of the temple, named Eli, saw her lips moving but making no sound. And supposing that she was drunk, he told her, just give up the wine. Hannah explained that she was not drunk, as he supposed, but was pouring out her soul in earnest before the Lord, praying that he would give her a son. Eli then tells her to go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made before him. Well, Hannah does conceive, and she bears a son to her and her husband Elkanah. They name their son Samuel, which sounds like the Hebrew word for heard of God. After she had weaned Samuel, Hannah takes him to the temple and gives him to the Lord, saying, Oh, my Lord, as long as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. Samuel then goes on to stay at the temple with the priest Eli and ministers there with him. Hannah goes on to be blessed by the Lord with three more sons and two daughters. As we consider our Old Testament text this morning, we have several things that we can learn from Samuel. He was quick and persistent in saying, "Here I am," whether he mistakenly thought it was Eli or the Lord. He had a servant heart no matter who was asking. God asked the same of us, to be willing to be his hands and his feet here on earth. God needs volunteers to take care of the widows, the orphans, the destitute, those that are alone without the support level that they need. Living in the greatest commandment that God has given us, that of loving God and loving your neighbor, it's not just a heart thing, but it's also a hand thing. As part of the hand thing is simply raising it when somebody calls for volunteers and say, "Here I am," and then using those hands to do God's work. We should also take notice of where Samuel was and what he was doing. Samuel was in the temple, making sure that the lamp of God did not go out. The instructions from God in Exodus chapter 27 directed the lamp outside the Holy of Holies, that it was to be burning continually, and it was the responsibility of the high priest and the other priests to tend to it. Now Eli, who served in the temple despite the disability of not being able to see, wouldn't be able to tend to the light. So it was the child Samuel's job to monitor it and fill it with oil to keep the light burning. Confirmands and acolytes take notice of this. But for God's people in general, no matter what our abilities and capabilities are, God expects us to use our time and our talents for the many tasks that are necessary within the church. We have open positions on the board of directors, the board of elders. We have plenty of room for more ushers, greeters, lectors, prayer chain members. There are always tasks around the church that can use volunteers. And if blind Eli and this little child Samuel can serve, what is our excuse? It's interesting to note that even though Samuel was brought up in the temple, he failed or was slow to recognize the word of the Lord. Three times the Lord called Samuel, but Samuel mistakenly thought it was Eli. And maybe we can point to the fact that the word of the Lord was rare in his time, that prophecies were scarce. Maybe that's why he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. But we don't live in times like that, do we? We have God's complete revelation in the Bible. All that God wants to say to us, all that God wants us to know, is in there. But that means that we ourselves need to be in the Word, absorbing it, wrestling with it, digesting it. Simply showing up for church now and then isn't enough. Just because we're in church on Sunday mornings once in a while doesn't make us a believer any more than standing in our garage makes us a car. We have to engage in the Word, engage in worship, engage in Bible study, for that is God's will for us. That is the only way that we will recognize God speaking to us and among us. And even though Eli was slow to recognize what was happening, he did point out to Samuel that it was the Lord calling him. Eli had raised the boy ever since his mother dedicated him in service to the temple. He had been like a father to him. We all, but especially our young ones, need father figures and mentors like Eli. Not that Eli was perfect, but in that he pointed him to the Lord. The culture today has so many influences trying to pull us, but especially our children, toward a wrong belief in God or away from the church entirely. We need to counteract their influence with an influence of our own. We can only do that through relationships, vigilance, and the sharing of the knowledge of the truth that sees through the devil's schemes and the devil's lies. We are all a lot like Eli. Not perfect, and maybe even a little slow. But we all have the ability to raise our hand and stand up for the truth of God's word in our culture. In a culture where the belief in the inerrancy of God's word is scarce. Be a positive influence on those around you. And point others to Christ. In the days of the temple, God would typically dwell between the cherubim on the top of the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy of holies. But the fourth time, the Lord calls Samuel, the passage specifically tells us that the Lord came and stood by where Samuel lay. This is a most important detail in that it foretells and points to the coming of the Messiah, God enthroned in the flesh, coming to mankind, speaking to us through his Son. God comes voluntarily in the flesh to redeem a sinful world, though all might not believe in him. By the birth, death, resurrection of his Son, God says, "Here I am," telling us to come to him, to unburden our souls, to receive forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. Never volunteer might be a military motto, but it isn't God's way. In Isaiah 65, verse 1, God says, "I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that did not call on my name." God volunteered to send his Son to save us from our sins. He didn't have to, but out of his love for the fallen creation, he chose to. And he uses people like you, me, Samuel, all those willing to raise their hands and say, "Here I am," to serve his people and carry his good news out into the world. Not volunteering is a military thing. It is not a Christian thing. God wants us to volunteer and serve the Lord with gladness, as the psalmist writes. So be a little more like Samuel and give God all the glory. Amen.